Lord, you're most wonderful. You amaze me what you do. You bless. Well, I just don't understand it. Lord, you're just great. And sure do thank you. Sure do thank you for everything. Lord, Boyd done thanked you for everything he could think of. And Lord, everything he left off, Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, now I pray that you might search my mind, my heart, remove anything in my mind or heart that would be hindrance to your word or hindrance to your way. And Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Lord, I must have thy Holy Spirit's guidance and power. Lord, please fill me just now to do what you've called me to do. And Lord, again, thank you for this blessed old word. Lord, it's wonderful to me. And Lord, help me to preach it the way you say to preach it. Now, Lord, as our hearts and our minds are attentive, Lord, help us to be obedient as you say. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I see sin of the world becoming more and more open. Can you see that? I mean, we're in a bad shape. Bad shape. It's not just our country, it's the world. The world is sin sick and sore. I've never seen wickedness and idolatries, more than it is today. I read about it in the Word of God and then I see it coming to life. I mean, even as far as digging out the old idols and everything else and bringing them forth and portraying worship to them and things is such a shame. But I see that in the world. But it's sad. I see the sin of the church becoming more and more as well. It's not just the sin of the world. Used to be when you preached on sin, it was just about what was going off in the world. But you don't have to go there no more. You just look around in the church house and you see just as much sin in the church house with those who say they're a Christian. For those of us who say we're a Christian, we a lot of times sure don't act like it. We don't live like it. We may look like it at times, but we don't act like it all the time. And I don't know that that's, it might be common, but I don't know that it's right. Somewhere some things has to be wrong. You understand that? Somewhere we can just continue for so long and we got to stop and say, wait a minute, it's wrong and we got to quit. Everybody understand that? I mean, somewhere there's got to be a line drawn and we say, no, that's wrong. We got to stop. And that's what I see. I see a change in people. The reason I see a change in church is I see a change in people. I see the change in people, then it changes the church. All right? And now I'm glad that the Word of God don't change. I'm glad for that. I got a standard and the Bible is true. And whether anybody believes it, anybody preaches it, anybody teaches it, don't change it. Burn them all. Burn all the paper Bibles. Burn them all. Delete all the computers. Throw away all the disks. It don't matter. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So it don't matter. It's still settled there. So it don't change. I'm glad I got a standard this morning, and it's most wonderful to me, and I appreciate even the testimonies about the Bible this morning. Oh, how it's necessary. Think about that. Right is still the same. The Bible's the same, and right is still the same, and truth is still the same. You know that? You know there's no new truth. They're just truth. It's just truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except by the Father. I'm the truth. There's one truth, and that's God's truth. And then he wrote down, so we have the truth in the Word of God. And there's one truth this morning. So I'm glad that don't change. Now turn to Galatians, if you would, chapter 5. We're going to read a little bit here. And we want you to listen carefully. I preached from this. I preached the text we'll use this morning. It probably won't be the same title, but it might even be some of the same message. That's okay. Paul preached it a long time ago. That's right. So Galatians chapter 5. Let's start reading verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 10. And I want you to listen. It says, stand fast. That's a good place to start right there. Stand fast. That means don't move. Stand right in the right way. Right with the Lord, just stand. Just stand. Stand fast. Let somebody nail your boots down in the floor with 16 penny nails, and then you put them on and lace them up tight and stand right there. Don't move. Stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. If we look at the direct context of Galatians, the whole book of Galatians, Paul's writing to a church, and he's trying to get everybody to understand that you've tried to mingle law and grace together, and salvation by grace, and then salvation by works, and it's the same thing right today. People do the same thing. People's attitude or their knowledge of the Bible is so limited because they don't read, and they think that they're saved. Well, Christ saves me, yes, but then I've got to do so much to stay saved, and I've got to work, and they mingle law and grace in together. Are you listening to me? If I would drop down in verse 4, it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now there's our old word. Boy, you done fell from grace. You done fell from grace. Well, let me inform you something. If you're trusting the law, you've fallen from grace. If you're trusting yourself, then it's not grace. That's what the scripture means. If you're trying to make it on your own, you can't. You've fallen from grace because it's grace that saves. And that's where that term comes from. And people are foolish if they think it any other way. If you think that anything you do is going to take you to heaven other than believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm afraid you're completely wrong. I don't care who you are, you're wrong, because you can't do it. You can't live it. You're not good enough. You ain't good enough. And you don't want to be good enough, because there's still sin you want to do. And if you commit sin, the Bible says, if you fail in one place, you're guilty of all, and that makes you completely contrary to the law. And there's no mercy in the law. There's no grace in the law. There's no salvation in the law. It's by grace. Hallelujah. It's by grace. Amen. All right? It's by the Lord. Huh? We okay? How about we flip over to chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and verse 24. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law's good. Now, we're not going to throw the law out, because I need the law just to show how bad a sinner I am. But it's a schoolmaster. It teaches me that I can't do it, that I need faith in Christ. That's what the law teaches me. Huh? And that's what it teaches you, too. We still okay? How about we turn backwards again to chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now that's about as plain as it gets right there. And I thank God for grace, huh? Now, when I look back here at the scripture where we're at now, chapter 5, and Paul is writing to the church and trying to explain some things, trying to get them back lined out on grace. There's a phrase here that I believe includes a lot more than just grace, because it talks about truth. And truth is what we need this morning. We need truth with the Lord. We need truth with one another. We need truth in the world. We need to be honest. Now, when I say I need to be honest, that don't mean just pay my debt. I need to be honest in everything. I need to be honest in my speech. I need to be honest in my reactions. All right? See, a lot of times we might be honest in our action, but we're not honest in our reaction. All right? I need to be truthful in every way. Can we agree to that? That wouldn't hurt everybody just say amen right there. Amen says that is true. We need to be honest. How many wants to be crooked? Anybody here wants to be crooked? How many wants to be honest? All right, then we'll have to be honest this morning. All right. That's what we'll need to do. Now, when I think about this, I want you to look down here in verse 7. Verse 7. It says, ye did run well. You did run well. Used to be we run well. Something happened. When we started, we run well. Something happened. You did run well. Everybody with me? You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, it's not just grace and law, it's truth. Who hinders you this morning that you don't obey the truth? See, when you started, you run well. If you're saved this morning, everybody in here, if you're saved, you got saved the same way everybody else did. Yes, nobody saved in. You're either saved by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ or you're not saved. Right. It's Christ in Him alone. It's not either or, buts and ands. It's Christ in Him alone. Think about that. So we're all saved the same way. See, we all start right. And we take off running. Everybody gets saved, takes off running. Do you know that? Everybody gets saved. They're so happy, they take off running. Now, they may not physically, you know, but they take off inside. They're just running wide open. But then something happens. Somebody hinders us. Somebody hinders us. So I'm going to preach just a little bit this morning to us who did run well. But we ain't running very well right now. Yeah. Sometimes we're running and we got a miss in it. We got a miss in our motor. And I've had vehicles that had a miss in it. Just couldn't figure out why it was missing. They put it on the computer and checked it out, and they said, well, there's no codes coming up. But there's a miss in it. Yeah. See, sometimes our warning light ain't burning real bright. I know of people that take a piece of tape and put over that little light that stays on the dashboard. So you can't see that little warning light. I know of people, that's what they said they did. I know of people took a black marker and scribbled across that so they don't see that warning light. And I'm afraid that's what's in the church anymore. That we have either took the light out or we've covered it up that it don't burn, that we don't see the warning. And that way the code's not sent out that we got a miss at. See, we did run well. We did run well. But something happens. And this morning we're going to, I don't know, maybe just give you a thought. It talks about somebody hindering us. It's what the scripture said. It says, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And then verse 10 talks about, he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So it told about somebody. Somebody is the reason that we don't run right. Huh? So we're going to preach to you just for a minute this morning. Is who poisoned you? Who poisoned you? Huh? I don't watch very much TV. I like Perry Mason. Perry Mason, they figure out these mysteries. You know, I try to figure out when it comes on, I try to figure out who really done the killing here. And I'm right, just really excited when Perry, he never loses the case. He never loses the case. He always figures it out because he gets down to the truth. And he always goes into where that defendant is. He said, now, you've got to be honest with me. Most every program, you've got to be honest with me. And then they get to the bottom of it, you know. But there was one of the scenes on there, they had a murder. Of course, that's all of them, somebody would get killed. But what it was, they couldn't figure out how this guy got killed. There wasn't no injuries, there wasn't no beat over the head, wasn't no gunshots or nothing. And what it was, that they was his loving wife was mixing just a tad bit of poison in his meal every day. And it was slowly killing him. And the one that loved him, supposedly, is the one that was poisoning. The one that he trusted was the one that was poisoning. And he died dead as a hammer. And Perry had him figure out that coroner had to do one more test. When he found out, they seen the buildup of the chemical, and the only person that could have done it, he turned and looked at the wife. Huh? Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you this morning? Who poisoned you? See, there's people today that are poisoned, and Paul's telling it, who hindered you, who poisoned you, who's causing you to believe in untruth.
Right.
Paul writes to the churches of Galatia. It's not one church, it's all the churches in the regions of Galatia. And they got a letter, and they made sure they all got a copy of it to read it. And he said, you're coming off the truth here. And the Bible teaches us that the truth shall set you free. It's got to be the truth. It'll make you free. It'll set you free. The verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
Yes.
That the truth, there's a truth this morning. So let's look at some things this morning and see who poisoned you. Now, you may not be poisoned this morning. It may be somebody else. It may be somebody on live stream, okay? There's people who watch live stream from other countries and other states. So it may not just be for you this morning, huh? But it may. See, I don't know. It may be just for you this morning. But who poisoned you to turn from the Bible? I'm talking about a King James Bible.
Yeah, amen.
Who turned? Somebody turned you.
That's right.
You didn't turn from trusting this old Bible by reading this old Bible.
That's right.
That is correct.
You had to be poisoned by somebody else.
Amen.
You read another book. Or you listen to some new message, but you never got it by reading the truth.
Amen.
So who poisoned you? Who poisoned you? Somebody poisoned you. Well, you ought to pay attention to who it was. Because they're poisoning you not to make you live, but that you may die.
That's right. You're right.
Who poisoned you? You know, I don't believe that's poison. That's okay. That's okay. Let's see. Are you still running well?
Hello. There you go.
Are you still running well? You're poisoned with a new Bible, with a different version. Well, how well are you running? Let's look at your life. How many souls you bring to Christ?
Yeah, come on.
And with your new stuff.
Tell it.
How much power you got in your prayer life now? Because most people that go to the new stuff only try to find out why they ought to believe the new stuff, and they leave Christ alone.
Yes, amen. That's exactly right. Amen.
So who poisoned you? I'm just asking. Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you? Who turned you from the church?
Hello.
Somebody turned you from the church. The church is a place of safety. The church is a place of refuge. The church is a place where there's supposed to be love and concern and care. But something has left a bad taste in your mouth that the church is not what it used to be. Who turned you? Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you from the church? Who poisoned you from the compassion that the church had? We say, well, so wait, the church as a whole has never done nothing to hurt you.
Right.
Amen.
Somebody in the church may have.
Right.
But the church has not.
Right. Amen.
So who poisoned you? You did run well. You did run well when you started with your Bible, and you was glad that you had your Bible, and there was even those who would stand and thank God for their Bible.
Yes.
Until they were poisoned.
Right.
You're right.
Amen.
They were poisoned.
Amen.
And it's killing their life and their families.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
And it's trying to poison their friends. Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you over the church?
Yeah. Tell it.
That the church is not first place when it comes to worship and a center of service. Who poisoned you? Somebody poisoned you.
Yeah.
Paul asked, who hindered you? It's evident. Who poisoned you from the church this morning? Who poisoned you from the work of God? See, there was a time that the Bible was first place. There was a time that the church was strong in your mind and strong enough that you loved the church. There was a time that you was first to serve. But somebody poisoned you. Who poisoned you? Who was it? Who was it? It was somebody. It was somebody that poisoned you from the work of the Lord. That now I'll give up my classes and I give up this doing this and I give up that and I just slowly back away because somebody poisoned me.
Yeah.
Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you? Who was it? Who was it? We're slowly getting quiet. Slowly. Slowly. Because when you're poisoned, there's a bad taste in your mouth. Huh? We still okay? I'm feeling better. I feel good physically. Huh? I thought, Mark, what are you? You did run well. Then I decided to be mellow. Because I was feeling bad. I'm over that. So we'll go back to what kind of preaching it was when we were strong.
Amen.
Who poisoned you? See, somebody poisoned some of you.
Right.
Now, I mean, everybody might not be drinking. You know, they say drink the Kool-Aid. Everybody didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
That's right.
But some did.
Yeah.
Some been poisoned. Poison's laid out there for everybody. Everybody don't drink it. Somebody's got better sense than to drink it.
Yeah.
Who poisoned you? Who poisoned you from the Bible? Who poisoned you from the church? Who poisoned you from the Word of God? Is it the TV? Is it the media? Who poisoned your attitude? Who poisoned your compassion? Who poisoned your love? Who poisoned your wanting to do? Is it the media? Is it the news? We make the poison. We drink the poison. Who poisoned it? Listen carefully. Who turned us or poisoned us from our personal fellowship with Christ? You say, well, my fellowship is just the same. Then where's your shout? Where's your burning testimony? Where's your tears? Where's your trips to the altar? Something's changed.
That's right.
Who poisoned you?
Mama.
Yeah. Who poisoned you? Well, I ain't got over people leaving. There was so?
Amen.
Who poisoned your fellowship with Christ?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
I got news for you. There'll probably be more leave if we stay long. If we're here another 20 years, there'll be more people leave. Who poisoned you? Who poisoned your mind? Who poisoned your attitude? We did run well.
Yeah.
We did run well. Here we are coming right up to camp, and I see it every year. I see it every year. We come up to camp. And I lay out some rules that if you can't get along with nobody, you ain't going to serve, and everybody wants to serve, so they lie and say they're right with everybody, and after camp's over, we live like hell again.
Yes.
Who poisoned you? Huh? Who poisoned you? To turn us from the Bible, to turn us from the church. Man, when I'm hurting, I want to get to the church. When I'm hurting, I want to get to the Bible. When I'm hurting, I want to get to the church. Huh? I have found, you may think I'm an idiot, but I have found that when I am sick, I try to work it out. If my back's hurting, did I go do something to make it hurt? I'm going to make it hurt. If it's going to hurt, it ain't going to hurt me laying down. I'm going to go make it hurt. If I'm having trouble limping, I try to walk more. I mean, that's what I do. If I'm dizzy and can't walk, I try to find something. I find a ladder. And you say, well, that's crazy. No, I'm not going to run from what may... that I need to be doing. I need this Bible, and I better be careful of the poison that's out there to take me away from this book. Hey, I need the church. I need you people. I need you to pray for me. I even need you to hate me. I just need you. I don't care what you do. I need you. If you don't like me, fine. If you love me, fine. But I need you. Huh? I need to come into the church house and have you there in prayer. I need to see you.
Yes,
sir. I need to work. If I feel bad, I want to go do something.
Yes,
if I'm having problems at the church, that's a good time to start something.
Yep.
Go work. Go visiting.
Yes.
Go talk about somebody about Jesus.
Yeah,
when you don't feel like I just can't do it, that's when you go. That's when you go to the store and kind of hang around just a little bit. And it won't be long that somebody will come up to you and you'll get to witness to them.
Sure.
Yeah. Sit in the parking lot with your window down. And somebody will come by and start a conversation.
Every time.
Huh? But who poisoned you from the service of the Lord? Who poisoned you from the personal fellowship? Who poisoned you from when your heart used to beat fast and the tears would roll down your face and your hands went up in the air to praise the Lord, but it don't happen no more because somebody poisoned you?
Right.
You did run well.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody poisoned you. Somebody poisoned you. Who poisoned you about the brethren? Huh? Who turned you from the brethren? Who turned you from the brethren? Huh? Was it gossip? Was it gossip that turned you? Was it gossip that poisoned you? Was it assumption that poisoned you? Do you know that I believe at least 80% of the problems in a church is from assumption? That it didn't happen, I just assumed it. I assumed that they thought that. I assume that's the way they felt. Huh? Who poisoned you? Well, say, preacher, I don't know even what you're talking about. Well, can you not tell from the atmosphere of church? We'll have a spurt, and then it dies out.
Right.
How come? It's because they's poison. There's poison in the church. Hey, it ain't poison in the benches. It's the people standing in the benches. It ain't the termites in the benches. It's the termites in our heart. Huh? Who has poisoned us from the love of the brethren? Do we not say, you know why? You know, we used to be close. Who poisoned you? You're thinking it. Who poisoned you? Why ain't you now? Well, I don't know. I just feel like. You mean you didn't go ask them? You mean you didn't go by the Bible and go to He and Thee alone without telling anybody else? You mean you didn't take two or three witnesses when it didn't work out and sit down with the Bible? You mean you didn't come and press charges and let the church call court to make sure there wasn't no division in the church?
Oh my. Man.
No, I just drank the poison. I just drank the poison so it would affect me.
There you go.
I just drank the poison so I don't have to be around nobody. I'll just say to myself, keep drinking the poison. This is not my first day of pastoring. 40 years, I noticed things.
Yes, sir.
Is it strife? Is it unforgiveness that poisoned us? Huh? I'm just asking. Who turned us from our stand for righteousness? You know, we're living in a time now where we're right here at voting time and our country going to hell in a handbasket. And it didn't just start this year.
Huh?
And you got to be careful. You say something about a Democrat and people run up a tree and pout at you. Brag on a Republican and people think you're going to hell. And if you arrest your Democrat, people think you're going to hell. And if you're independent, you're just compromised. You can't be the one. You know? You gotta be careful politics in the church, because then these bad feelings and then because that one's upset with that one, then you got a spirit of dissension in the church, and then you try to preach over that, and it's like trying to preach over hell.
Yeah, that's right.
And the church becomes a building on the banks of hell.
Right. Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Who turned us from the stand for righteousness? I'm registered Republican. And I don't care whether you like that or not. I used to be a Democrat, but my eyes got open. I can make a joke. Why? No, I'm just not going to be affiliated with people who say they ought to kill babies. If you want to, that's fine. I'm going to stand for righteousness.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
I'm not going to stand with someone who don't know. It's a funny thing for somebody who don't know who a woman is. Now they say, vote for this woman. It's in for a president.
Yeah.
But before, they didn't know what a woman was. Now, I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican or Methodist or Baptist. I don't care. I'm just not going to stand for platforms that's against the Bible. I'm not going to do that. You do what you want to do, but I'm not going to do that. I did run well. I'm going to keep trying to run well. But see, and hold on. In the weeks to come, I'm going to dissect the political parties by the Word of God. So hold on. That might be coming. Huh? Because I'm going to preach against sin. Whether it's me or you or the president or his wife or his kids or the king of England or the ruler of Korea. I don't care. Wrong's wrong. But what happened to our stand for righteousness? Who poisoned you? You're standing for your, when I stand for righteousness, I'm standing for my family.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Who poisoned me? Who poisoned me? Listen, if you watch the news, you're so deceived.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Might as well. I've done dug a hole anyway. Everybody's worried about Trump and Biden. Everybody thinks that Trump's the best, got a good vice president. I have trouble voting for a Catholic.
That's right.
I remember reading sermons when John F. Kennedy ran for president that the old timers said, you can't put a Catholic in office. We are a God-fearing Christian country.
Yes.
And people say, well, you can't say that about Catholic. Yeah, you can. The Pope just a while back said that Christ's biggest failure was at Calvary.
That's what he said.
Yeah. How come there's no stand for righteousness anymore? Listen, I'm not again because they're a, I'm not going to stand for the belief that they have.
Amen.
Huh? Somebody poisons us. And we drink the poison. Who poisoned you from the Bible? Who poisoned you from the church? Who poisoned you from the work of God? Who poisoned you from your personal fellowship with Christ? Who poisoned you from love of the brethren? Who poisoned you from the stand for righteousness? Somebody poisoned you. Well, let's read here and we'll see what's said. Verse 7 says, ye did run well. See, we used to run well. We used to run well with power in our services and power at the altar.
Yes.
We used to run well with power in the scene, but something has happened.
Amen.
Somebody's poisoned us.
Yep.
Let's see if we can figure out who it is. Verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The truth. The truth. Is there a truth in the Word of God? I believe there's a truth. Dennis taught us there Wednesday that the middle verse in the Bible there in Psalms 118, that we it's better to trust in the Lord than have confidence in man. That's a wonderful verse to be in the center. But if you take out 10,000 words, it's no longer in the center.
That's right.
You take out 1,000 verses, it's no longer in the center.
Right.
So I'm just going to go ahead and keep my old Bible.
Amen.
I mean, people can do what they want to do, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'll go ahead and just stick with the Bible.
Amen.
Now I know I'm not easy. I know I failed the test. I know when I've been given the test, I failed. I was almost right. I was close. I was told I was close when they tested me. Read the scripture and interpret it. I read, well, you're close. That's what I was told. Said in my office, I was told, you're close. You're close. Wait a minute. I got underwear older than you. And you're telling me I'm close. I'm telling you, I'm just not going to drink the Kool-Aid.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? I need the church.
Amen.
I need you this morning.
Yes, sir.
When I'm sick, y'all been praying for me. Man, I'm glad y'all been praying. I'm feeling better.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
If I could walk a little bit better, I believe I could almost pull a plow. Huh? I need you to pray for me.
Amen.
Man, I'm tickled. Somebody said, help a preacher, Miss Cheryl. Man, it tickles me to death for somebody to come by and say, I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I need you.
Yeah.
I need the church.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah. I need the church. I need you to put up with me and love me and show me grace and show me mercy.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I understand if you get mad at me. I understand. I get mad at me too. Huh? I understand. And I know more about it than you do. Huh? But I need you this morning. Huh? I need to work for the Lord. If I couldn't preach and try to win people to Christ and do something, then just knock me in the head and throw me in a hole. I'm no good to nobody. Huh? Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
Hear me this morning. I need my personal fellowship.
Yes.
There's times I can't get it here. There's times the Lord's pushed away. There's times the speaker's turned off.
Yes.
When I started preaching 40 years ago, Daddy told me, he said, now Mark, now listen to me. He said, don't you expect the church to help you preach.
That's right.
I said, what do you mean, Daddy? He said, you make sure that you're ready before you get to the church.
Yes.
He said, because they'll be against you a many a time. He said, and they're not going to be living right. He said, you make sure that you're right before you get to the pulpit. Man, that's been good advice.
Yes.
But you know, sometimes out there in the building, out there in the garden, out cutting grass, man, I get that little bit of relationship I've got with the Lord. And it's not perfect, but boy, it'll be sweet. I'm glad I still get to pull off the road every now and then.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad it's still real. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid about the church. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid about the work of the Lord. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. You know, work of the Lord, they don't need me. Yes, we do. We need everybody. Oh, they don't need me helping. Yes, we do need you helping. We need you doing what you're supposed to do. We need you in there. We need you at youth camp. We need you at Sunday school. We need you in junior church. We need you singing. We need you. We need you praying. Everybody's important. Everybody's necessary. Yeah, but I don't ever say nothing. Yeah, but just being here helps. Huh? You're necessary. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison this morning. Huh? Love the brethren. I love the brethren. Do I love them like I should? No, sometimes I want to smack the brethren. Sometimes the brethren makes me sick. I told you I want to be honest. I mean, sometimes I just, what is wrong? Grow up. Grow up.
That is it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Foolishness.
Yes.
Foolishness. I come from a family that loves laughter. Sarcasm and laughter. My family loves to laugh and be sarcastic. But Daddy would run us off the patio if we were just acting foolish. Don't carry on that foolish around here. Get out of it. Get out of here. There's some things foolish. Silly. Hey, silly stuff goes off in the church. Christians not get along one with another. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're drinking poison, what you're doing. You're drinking a Kool-Aid. Amen, preacher. Getting ready for camp. Ain't got nothing to do with camp. I've been sending you messages every Friday about preparing for Sunday. Been asking you to pray, search your heart and mind for Sunday. Do you? Or you drink a Kool-Aid? Do you pray or drink a Kool-Aid? It says here in verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. The Lord said, you drank the poison, but it wasn't me. It didn't come from the Lord. The poison that we drank about the Bible and the church and the brethren and service and a fertile nation don't come from the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it says, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. Verse 9 then says, a little leaven leaveth all. Now why would he put that in there? Because just a little poison will leaven the whole lump. A little poison in your heart will poison the whole church service. A little poison in your heart and mind will poison the whole youth camp. A little poison in your heart and mind will poison the revival. A little poison in your mind will poison the power of God in the church.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I told you before, I always think of my pastor Chick. He was preaching revival and he said there's a problem. Something going on here in this revival. There's a hindrance somewhere. There's a problem. And a woman stood up over here and said, can I say something? She said, yeah, go ahead. Said, I slapped my mother-in-law before church. You think that would hinder? She said, yeah, I probably would. So she looked over on this side. Now, this is truth now. She looked over and said, hey, and she called her mommy, but it was her mom, mommy-in-law. Said, mommy, I'm sorry for slapping you. And she stood up and said, well, I'm glad you, I accept your apology. Well, they met in front of the pulpit, hugged one another, got down on their knees and prayed, and revival broke loose. You know why? Because a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Uncle Joe, or maybe not my Uncle Joe, and a man by the name of Shorty Vass. Shorty Vass was a good guy. He was in church. It was good. If he's out of church, he's bad. And he was in and out. And Uncle Joe pastored or was holding revival up at Lookout Baptist Church. And he had to walk down to Winona, 2 miles. And then up on the hill, he's living on a bounty farm. And he walked, so it's total about 5 miles. They ended up walking to get back up on the bounty farm. And he was walking, he was working in the mines every day and preaching every night. And he was walking, had to walk, didn't have a vehicle to do it, had to walk. And Shorty Vass was hanging there with Uncle Joe. And they come by the sawmill every night. They're coming down in Winona where the old sawmill was, and they stop and pray. And they was praying one night after church, and God said, or Joe said, just pray, there's a hindrance. And he started praying, God, show me the hindrance. Show me the hindrance. He said, just as sure as he said that, the Lord said to Shorty. And he stopped praying. He said, Shorty, just quit praying. He said, Lord, show me what the hindrance was. Shorty said, why? What is it? He said, it's you. And Shorty broke down the ball and said, you're right. He'd been doing some things he hadn't been doing. And it leavened the whole lump. You said, well, it don't happen. Listen, it's the same. It's the same. We come into church with a bad attitude or a nose stuck up in the air or feelings hurt. Shame on us for even having feelings. Come in because somebody said something or done something we think. Won't go by the Bible. Won't fix it. Won't do right. And then trying to have the preacher to preach and say, get people saved. Trying to sing a glory down and praise the Lord. And you're so dead and dark you couldn't find Christ near what the church like. Huh? Because a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Because we're drinking the Kool-Aid. Taking the poison. And we'll hear today. And I doubt that we will fix it. I doubt we would come to the altar. There'll be some. You know, they'll come to the altar. The ones that ain't doing nothing. The ones that come to the altar, the one that's faithful, wanting God, wanting the power of God, and they're doing everything he can, that'll be the first one to the altar. And the ones that don't come is the one that's got the burr stuck.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hello. Go, we drink a poison. Verse 10 says, I have confidence in you, though. It says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. If somebody's poisoned you, well then, let the Lord handle that. Just don't drink the poison. That plain enough. Let's stand. Father, help us not to drink a poison. Lord, there's not a perfect person in this church house. There's not a perfect preacher. There's not a perfect member. There's not a perfect visitor. Lord, we all fail and come short. We all mess up. Lord, we've all drank the poison, and Lord, we've all put poison in the cups. Lord, I pray this morning that we might search ourselves, that we may realize there's more at stake. Huh? More at stake, oh God, than a little leaven. It's going to leaven the whole lump. Help us, Lord, to just do right and help us to get right. Everybody's necessary. Everybody in this church house is important. Lord, we got to have them. We need them all. And Lord, I pray that we might pay attention to who's poisonous. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.